Hello and welcome to the Wedding Chit Chat Podcast. If you're planning your wedding and feeling overwhelmed, grab a drink and keep listening. We'll be sharing all you need to know to give you the confidence to seamlessly plan your own wedding.
Ooh, welcome to the Wedding Chit Chat Podcast. You are joined by Natalie and Lauren. And today we have a special guest, Alicia from Double Shots. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this is Alicia. Let me introduce you to the brains behind and a bit of talent as well behind Double Shot. Tell us a bit about yourself and about the business, about the name, how that came to be.
Yeah, so I am the lead singer and owner of Double Shot Music.
Woo!
We started in 2015, 2016,
yeah.
Just sort of doing covers in the, you know, general public gig sort of scene, and then got into sort of weddings and events a little bit later. And, yeah, just been a lot of fun ever since. Really took off and have enjoyed a lot of weddings and events. And yeah, have a great team to work with, which is awesome.
Nice. And how did the name come about? So how did you decide on Double Shot?
It sort of started with my husband was working in as a barista at the time, and he was my boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And we just thought that that was kind of fitting. Double Shot of coffee. Coffee, yeah, just was very relevant at the time. And then we were talking about different names, and I remember we pulled over somewhere and we got out of the car, and there was a can of Double Shot espresso. Someone left their rubbish on the ground, but we were like, it's a sign. Let's just go with
definitely.
It.
Definitely. It's a sign. I love that. So it was just you two in the beginning.
In the beginning, music. Yeah. We started as an acoustic duo, and now we are a band, and we also kind of work as an agency for just different sort of musicians and things like that as well, booking other DJs and string quartets and things like that too.
And how many weddings would you say you've played at?
Over 100 now, which is really exciting. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Wow, yeah. That's so good. Talking so you of, have like a team, right? Mm-hmm. So is it a four-piece, five-piece band? Is it just duos, DJs? What do you sort of offer to couples?
We offer solo up to five or six-piece. We tend to have we've got our acoustic duo for, say, like ceremony and canapé hour, and then we usually move over to like a band for the weddings. We've had our core four for about 5 years now. But we also like to have a fifth member so that we can just sort of do more in terms of songs and song choices and things
love
like that.
That.
Yeah.
And are you all really close, like as team members? Are they like friends?
Or yeah, we're all really good friends.
Find the right people?
Well, we studied together at JMC Academy back in 2013.
Nice. Oh, wow. So like long term.
Yeah. Nice. So we've been friends for a long time, and we've worked on, I've worked in some of their projects, and then we sort of kicked off the covers thing. It's just sort of, been going really well from there.
I love that. I love when the band members know each other. Like, it's not just an agency where you've pulled someone and you have no idea how they're like,
they style wise
by themselves. You practice together and like learn, rehearse.
So we often get song requests, so we'll get together and rehearse those, and just implementing new sort of styles and things into the music that we have, or creating like mashups or medleys, things like that. So we like to jam and just hang out. It's just nice to be able to hang out and have that
so
friendship.
If a couple comes to you to book you, do you have like a set list that you give them, or do they come to you with some, like, how does that, what's the process when looking for a live musician?
Sometimes they'll come to us and say, hey, we really want this song as our aisle song, like, can you do it? And that's kind of like they're trying to find out who can do certain things. Otherwise they might say, hey, what kind of music do you play? We want to see if you're the right fit. And usually they can sort of tell through our videos and through our social media posts what kind of styles we play. But yeah, we have a repertoire list that we send out. We also have like a popular wedding song list for ceremony songs. People are really stuck, but I do like to encourage people to pick their own songs for that, because I just feel like it's sentimental.
Do people sometimes tell you like, oh, we definitely don't want this type of genre or anything like that?
Sometimes the country music will get mentioned as a please don't play any country, or like the Macarena.
Not everyone does.
I'm not saying anything against country music.
There are certain artists who I like.
Beyonce? No, just
not for country.
Yeah, we often get like the Macarena to like please not play. Sometimes the Nutbush.
Yeah, I had the Nutbush at my wedding 9 years ago.
Yeah.
My husband didn't even know what the Nutbush was, and I had to like explain it to him, and then I proceeded to like show him the dance, and he's like, what the hell? Like, are you serious? People are going to get up and do that at our wedding. I'm like, my friends are going to come up. We're totally going to do it. The amount of people on the dance floor during that song was, crazy.
I think if you've got the right crowd, it works. Yeah. So it's just about, like, knowing your audience as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, oh, we like this. And it's like, okay, but what does your audience, what are they like as well? Because people might think, oh, I've heard, you know, like there's certain songs that maybe are played to death and it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. But it's like, but they're really good ones to just get people up and like kick it off and then we can move to other
things. And sometimes it's a bit clicky, like, and I don't mean that in like an archy kind of way, but sometimes you'll see, for instance, groomsmen going absolutely balls out, sorry for want of a better term, but like, you know, they've got their own little dance moves and stuff. So like, I like to see the evolution of the dance floor. Like you can kind of see it through dinner and just,
Actually, you've probably seen some like weird stuff. Like at weddings, I've seen groomsmen and grooms like strip naked pretty much. Like they're having a great time.
And like just Eagle Rock.
And Eagle Rock has made its way over
did
from
not
Perth.
See these people like at the beginning of the night ending up in this situation.
It's like a it definitely is an evolution of the night. It has a flow, like it
but the music plays like a big part in that, like
100%. It's a massive part.
Yeah, and especially if it's a song that they love, like they get full into it. So
I just want to touch on like from the perspective of a celebrant, but this is to benefit couples. Holy shit, like to have like music there and to have someone reading like the timing that it's taking for someone to enter into the ceremony space, and you would have seen this, right? So is there any moments that you've seen your music or, you know, music really just transform
a moment
and really build into that?
We've had a couple of moments and requests where one of the couple one person is sort of facing the other way because, you know, you've got your bridal party walking in, et cetera, and they just wanted to kind of have a moment where the music cues them to turn around. So that was probably the most, like, you know, you can't really do that with a track unless, like, if you're late, then you wrecked it. Like, you can't slow it down.
Yeah.
Whereas we can kind of, like, you know, just repeat a section and we have all these, like, hand gestures that we do to each other, like repeat the verse or hit the tag or whatever to, like, make sure that we're building that live. So, the bride was getting sort of to the end of the aisle, had that moment for herself just to kind of compose, and then we paused the music for a second, that cued the turnaround, and there was just this really, really nice moment.
Yeah.
And then we played the song out until she reached the end of the aisle. And then, but also waiting for the celebrant to then cue us when they're ready, because that's a big thing as well. Yeah, like sometimes it's about working with the celebrants to say, what are you going to say? Or what, like, what's your gesture? Are you going to give us a nod?
Yeah.
And we like to kind of play a little bit more than, like, you not just reach the aisle because you've got to fluff the dress. You got to, you don't just cut it. You just will keep going until just maybe instrumental out until they're just absolutely ready to take over. Just so it sort of flows.
And I never thought of that, like, there being an exact cue, but that's brilliant.
But sometimes I feel like that's, like, a bit tricky because I would imagine that the person at the aisle may, like, forget when was the cue, or, like,
we did speak about it a lot
sometimes. I'm just like, oh, like,
you could, you know what, you could, like, take the onus off the person at the aisle and you could put it onto their best person, or, like,
I'm saying, like, as a coordinator, make them aware of it. Be like
in the headpiece around
the person, like, is, like, in between the musicians and the celebrant normally, like, waving it.
Yeah,
I can see why you would want to know.
Yeah,
that piece,
because
of
you just
don't
want. Yeah,
like, why is the music stopping and she's halfway down the aisle?
They make it seem effortless on mass. I hate mass, by the way. But I like what they've done with the producing of that first look moment.
I'm not watching the latest season. No. Like, I don't know. No, I just sort of lost. Great. Yeah, I just lost interest. As the seasons went on.
Oh, we digress.
But it is one of those things where it's like you're creating that moment in real time. So.
And I think the music does play a huge role in the atmosphere and the mood as well.
Yeah.
Like, even like the photographer that works closely with me, Joel from Barefoot and Bearded, he said during the couple's first look, right? So when they're like off, like in a garden or somewhere nice, he likes to take a little boombox thing to play music.
That's true.
Because it's like, it's usually dead quiet, and the moment's, like, enhanced with music. So you get into, like, I don't know, there's so many emotions that come out when you hear a song, you know, that, like, that's sentimental. So I feel like that was, like, a really good
way to get that emotion out of people, like in the first look. And I think that music does that so well, and
gets people ready and into the moment.
You're so right, because I mean it's like, oh, let's capture this moment, but it's like you're enhancing that moment, because I feel like that music can also be a bit of a sense of calm, because you can feel very, like, it's very confronting doing like first looks and things like that,
and when
emotions are high, you need that kind of
like that background sort of thing that's happening, because when it's really quiet, things get like awkward, and then you overthink things, and it's like, I think it just lets you relax a bit.
Exactly.
I think as well with it's a topic that I wanted to bring up, we were talking about beforehand, the climate, you know, being that there is a bit of a crisis, financial crisis, all the rest of that, people are super budget conscious, and it's really about allocating those funds to the things that are most meaningful to them. So have you seen a shift in, like, has people been pulling away and going to DJs, or like what can you speak on in behalf of that kind of
thing? I definitely agree, and we definitely see that in the clientele, that when they reach out, they'll tell us, like, well, I'll ask, like, you know, what do you envision for your music, or like, you know, and some people, like, I really want to just be on the dance floor all night, or I really want to, you know, just make sure everyone's having a good time, you know, and some people will have a DJ included in their package already, so they're kind of like, what can we do?
Oh, as part of the reception?
Yes, as part of the venue package. Okay. Like, they might have
is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Because, some DJs just are, like, the resident there. Yeah. So, which is good, because it means that the couples know that the DJ knows the venue, and there's that reliability there. And a lot of the venue DJs have been fantastic that we've worked with.
Yep.
But, yeah, we do see a lot of that as an add-on to an existing thing that they've already got, but also it is much more affordable to have a DJ than a 5 or 6 piece band. So are seeing some 4 or 5 piece bands, but we're also trying to be flexible and cater to the smaller budgets as well. So some people might want to have, they've got a DJ already in their package, but they still want that live music over dinner and for their first dance, just to have that something different. And also during canapés, because you know, in the reception, then you've got the outside space. So there's a bit of both, but more duo DJ stuff is happening now more than ever, I think.
Okay, nice.
And yeah, like we were saying before, like with budgeting, a lot of people think that, oh, like they need to spend big money on everything for the wedding, and oh, it's overwhelming because it's costing too much. But something that I've been telling my couples lately is, not just lately, but it's pick your 3 non-negotiables. And if music and the atmosphere and the having people on the dance floor the whole night is like super important, then I think investing in live music is the way to go, because Spotify just does not do the same thing.
I think with that, I think it's important to realize why Spotify doesn't do the same thing, because in, like, just thinking normally about it, you're like, oh, well, it's just, I can crossfade tracks. But if you've got a live musician there, your DJ is reading the room, your musicians are reading the room. If there's a song that's not really working with people, we can fade it out, or the DJ can fade it out. We can change into another one, or medley into something else.
And I guess that's how you sort of keep people on the dance floor. Yeah. So you read the room and see what sort of music is actually like getting people up and like in the mood to like stay on the dance floor.
And usually people will give us an idea of the types of, like, either the demographic or the kind of music that they like. So we can play to that. But then also, we're trying to keep people there. We're trying to keep that energy up. So those quick changes between songs, or like just meddling out of one into another, just to keep that energy high.
Love that.
Just on Spotify, can I just say a story that I heard? This wasn't a wedding that I went to, but when I'm like hanging out with guests at a reception, sometimes, you know, we share war stories. And the thing that they told me was that they once went to a wedding that had the Spotify playlist, but they didn't actually invest in the premium Spotify.
Oh, stop!
So what that means, listeners, is that every 3, 4, 5
songs. Oh my gosh.
Download premium.
The other thing I have heard is that people don't download their playlist.
Oh, yeah.
And they get to a reception where there is no reception.
Yes.
And it cuts in and out. And it's like, oh, like, who's taking care of the music? Like, it's.
So if you're doing, like, super stripped back, massively on a budget, like, there's no judgment.
Just do it right.
If you're going to do Spotify, we don't recommend it. But if you're going to do it, get premium.
Do it.
And even then you can have issues because 100%. I've had a playlist that's given from someone. It's downloaded, but then for some reason it's like, oh, you're offline. It's like, but I have premium.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have this problem. So, it can cause a few issues.
Yeah.
Definitely an idea for a more low budget sort of style, but you just have to make sure someone's ready to pick it up if it's,
So do you help your couples like along the way to like select songs, or do you send them like a form that they fill out? When do you sort of get back in touch with them closer to the wedding?
Yeah, so usually all this stuff sort of gets more finalized around the 1 month mark out from the wedding, because you're still working on your run sheets. You're still working out if you want certain aspects or key moments.
Yeah.
And that's when all that really comes together. And we need about 4 weeks notice if we are learning new songs, just to make sure that we can get that rehearsal time in as well. But yeah, it's all, I've got a pretty comprehensive form in terms of like, you know, what their key songs are, the order of people walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
And then, we've got that information and we go through it together on a phone call.
And just do you do like certain, like 40-minute sets or something? Like, is that sort of how you slot it into the run sheet?
Sort of. So I like to look at the timeline and sort of look at it as the music's decorating around the formalities. So if there's an hour at dinner, it's like, do you really want to do 45 minutes and then have 15 minutes of background and then speakers?
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather it flow for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that.
Part of that is working around that.
And yeah.
Like, typically you'll have 40-minute sets, three, four.
Yeah.
And then, like,
I love that you say that, because when I create run sheets, I notice that there is that, like, 50 minutes or 1 hour, and it's based on the couple, what they sort of want for the night. But I do see a lot of bands saying, we do three, like, 40-minute sets. And I'm just like, sometimes it doesn't work with the way that they sort of want things. So, yeah, I do find that sometimes bands put on other music, like in the background, just to like make up that time. But I love that you try and work it based on the run sheet. I think that would work so much better.
I just think it flows nicer, and there's less sort of interruptions. Mm. It's just like you pass it over to one person, they pass it back to the MC.
Yeah.
But also sometimes if a band will do three 40-minute sets, it might be like three dance sets at the end. So you can kind of keep it.
Yeah.
Usually if there's like three hours, I think is a long time for open dance world, because I feel like you don't want
Too
much
is.
Time. You're better having like a little bit.
I think so, like even two hours max, I feel. Yeah. 2 hours
that's
max.
That's really great feedback, couples.
Yeah.
2 hours max for dancing is enough. Yes. Yeah,
and depending on the style of the event.
I love dancing. Love dancing, but 2 hours is enough.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think depending on the type of wedding it is, because a lot of it makes sense for the sit down dinner and then you've got your dancing. But if you've got a cocktail wedding, you have to kind of work that energy all through the night and make sure there's still enough of a flow, you know, because a lot of the time in cocktail weddings, they're like, as soon as we get there, we're going to do speeches. We're just going to go bang, 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 and then have open time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, in that open time, are you like, you know, that it'll be a lot of mingling, and then we'll kind of get into the like heavier
the dancing stuff
later.
Still come later.
Yeah. And like you can have moments where like the bride and groom come in, and then you've got like a bit of a dance floor for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we go into dinner and stuff like that. Mm. You can do that too.
That's what we do.
I do like that.
We do that.
It's a bit of fun. It also kind of sets that tone for the night.
As soon as we walk in, we do the dancing, like, 20 minutes at least. And
But I remember hearing, it's better to leave people wanting more than people getting tired of it, which is 100% true.
Yeah. So true.
And that's the thing. You remember how you felt at a wedding. You might not remember, like, certain little details that like and that just like you said, it depends on what you value,
what's
prioritize.
Important to the couple.
That's a big one
definitely.
I think, something else, like when we were speaking a little while ago, you had mentioned some of the things that you are confronted with different venues and things like that. I just think it's really important to understand the value in professionals and things that you know to ask, that sort of thing. So could you, for our listeners, just elaborate on some of those things that you have been confronted with and how you've overcome them?
So going back to what you said, as professionals, I feel like that's the thing. Like, you might know some really great musicians, but do they know what to do when potentially that you've got a power issue or, you know, like, it's about knowing how to fix things when they potentially go wrong, or
limitations as well, right?
Yeah. So there's some venues that will have a really strict sound, like level limit policy, and you have to actually plug into their like a special plug into the wall that has like a traffic light system in terms of the volume level, yeah. and if it is in the red for like two or three seconds or something, it just cuts your power.
Oh my God.
And that is really like no one's just going to want to be on red, obviously. Like yeah. it, you'd have to be there for a while to really get that. But then you can have some like just issues that sort of, you know, something could just peak for a bit for some reason. And then it's like, it's just such a, it keeps us like stressed sort of thing. And we just want to be there. Like vibing off people and having a good time.
Right.
And it's just, you're there watching it, like every, I'm watching it every few
seconds. I'm imagining you like belting out a ballad and then just like a big Whitney and then you just go.
Watching it go up and down. And look, it takes a lot to kind of get it to that point, but it's still one of those things in the back of your mind where we don't normally have these problems.
Yeah.
Or they might have like a decibel limit and you can just set up your phone on an app. And you just check it now and again. And that's usually when it's when there's, you know, it's in the mountains and there's other buildings nearby or whatever.
Yeah.
They just have to keep that level. But it's not at a point where it's like your power will be lost.
Yes.
Yeah. And so do you recommend, so do you get in touch with venues to figure out like their restrictions or does the couple sort of tell you or like, because really it is in the venue contracts.
Yes.
But we all know that couples don't check the contracts.
Yeah, and sometimes it can just be one of those things that you don't really realize what it means until like you couple, come back to it and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's in like the venue will come back and say, well, it's in your contract. But unless the venues have to also be pretty transparent on it in terms of like, so you understand that that means, because we've had times where people have found out like a week or two before that they can't have, or we've found out from talking to the venues ourselves that they are not allowed to have amplification outside. So we've had to either get a completely different instrument because you can't sing when there's no, like there's no point for quality and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might get a string quartet instead in those cases, but just having time is important because you don't want to be stressed at the last minute.
And you don't want to find that out too late. Like the music is a big part. And I would think that like swapping instruments like a couple of weeks out is like, it's a big change.
It changes your sound completely. Yeah. So especially if you had your heart set on like a version of that song coming down the aisle and now you have to have the normal track or
different.
I mean you make do but it to have 2 weeks notice or to know when from the get-go like okay here are our options
it's definitely something to check way in advance.
Please check your contracts with your venues but also we also get in touch with the venues directly just to make sure that there's, you know, if they need insurance documents or whatever, we can just sort that out without having to send it to the couple send it to them.
The back and forth. Oh my God.
Yeah. They have enough to do. So we're happy to just.
I love that you take that on as well, like for your couples, and you make sure that your service is going to be like at the highest standard early on. So I love that.
Helping out.
Yeah. And so see, that's the professionalism. Yes. That's what you pay for. That's what you pay for, honestly. Yeah. So, I've had couples say to me like in the past that, oh, my niece such and such can play the piano and she's going to play. And then they'll call up the venue and say, oh, do you have this chord or do you have this input thing? Or do you? And it's like, no, they don't because they're not set up for that. That's why you hire a professional to come in. And I've seen speakers go wrong. I've seen so many stuff go wrong. And as a coordinator, it also stresses me out when you say that, oh, yeah, this person's taking care of it. But then I'm like in the middle of it thinking, how the hell am I going to get this tech side of things done?
It impacts.
When I'm not a tech wizard. Because I don't offer that service. I'm not an IT person.
Yeah. So but also, like, you're not
knowledge of things.
Yeah. Mm.
But so, like, so it stresses me out as well when it's not a professional because I'm not the go-to for that sort of stuff.
That's right.
And that way you just know it's all done for you. Like you don't have to worry about, oh, do you need a speaker? Or it's like, we'll bring everything.
Yes.
And like then, and you don't have
to worry.
And
because that's the best person for the job. That's the person who takes care of it. Like,
So definitely. I guess if people are on the lookout for a musician, like starting point, where should they be looking? What should they be asking?
And where can they find you guys? Yeah. Do you do like local gigs? Where could they come and see you?
We do a few around Sydney. We travel everywhere for weddings though, but we've got a pretty consistent kind of gig at Palmer & Co. in the establishment building in the city. But for a band, which is pretty good because you don't get a whole lot of public band gigs. We do a few acoustic duo ones here and there too. So we post all those on our social media. So
you tell couples to come and check you out there.
100%. And people always say, like, can we come and like request a song, or can we hear you play somewhere? Play.
Oh, yeah, come along and dance. Oh, so I'll get some dates off you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And I'm not even joking.
Yeah. Yeah. You like, said it at a bar?
What's that?
Is it at a bar?
Yeah, I'll be there. Speakeasy.
Seriously, like, haven't you been to the establishment? Oh my gosh. You're showing your age.
We're not that old.
And that's the thing I think as well, getting in touch early and just having conversations and just seeing if, you know, you can deliver that service for people. So, you know, and if you click in terms of your personality as well.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah. Gotta like
do you do like Zoom calls or do you do phone calls or what's like, once they book, do you do phone calls? How do you sort of know that like you're right for them?
I like to kind of call people in the early stages and just sort of have a chat and just get a better idea of what they're envisioning so I can know what to quote as well. Because I guess like sometimes people are like, oh, just, you know, looking for a quote, and other people will be like, hey, love your band, love your vibe. Please tell me you're free on this date.
They're so the ones you want. Kind of, you're like, you can kind of get an idea
of what they want.
Yeah. And that they've seen your work before and they're like ready to book you.
Or like they'll know someone, or like, oh, you played at my friend's wedding.
Or they hear, you must get a lot of referrals too.
Yeah,
so
we've
like
gotten a few
doing
few,
like
lovely.
Their like people's engagements and then like potential being booked for their weddings and things. Do you see that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so sometimes like an engagement party, they might have like an acoustic duo, just it's more of a chill canapé type of event. Yeah. And then they might say, oh, that was great. Like, we want to book the whole band for the wedding.
Or, yeah.
Like, you know, mix it up a little bit, but also have, like a makeup have you part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Makeup trial. I love that.
The trial.
But yeah, I think having those discussions early and then in terms of how I process the bookings and things like that, I'll send like some run sheets which have like, you know, what's some music that you like, things like let's pick three like really good last songs for the night, and that way it also kind of lets them know what time of the night it is. Must not play songs I like to know, and also not just for like, you know, in case Eagle Rock and people know their friends are gonna get naked. But also you just never know, like some people have been married before and they maybe don't want that song played again, or something's happened in their family where there's, you know, songs that aren't,
there's something like a negative emotion around that
you just
song
don't want
something.
That song, and I'm that's fine.
But by and large, the planning with the muso is like, god, it must be fun to, you know what I mean?
It is a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And I really like, I feel like that allows us to kind of work with the couple and really help them pick songs if they're really stuck on songs.
Yeah.
Like we can help them pick songs that, you know, okay, who's some artists that you like? Like this would make for a really good first dance song, or maybe for a father-daughter dance or aisle song.
And giving them
or
things they maybe haven't thought of, I guess.
Yeah. Because it's their first time sort of organizing a wedding. So I've had couples ask me like, oh, do you have any like, lists of like songs that we could do for our first dance or like the father-daughter dance, and I'm just like, yeah, like because I've been to many weddings I can look back at what other couples have chosen and what I thought was like really nice, but it's just they can't think of it on the spot sort of, so,
and there's so many things like to plan for a wedding it's like
so guiding them
like
let
me help
in that way
a little bit.
Because like they do and then they like when they're reading the list of songs, they're like, oh yeah, I know that song and that would be perfect. Yeah. But they didn't think of it themselves, you know? They just need that
guidance. Yeah, that's it. So we go through that. I ask them for key songs for different moments. And then about a month out, we'll sit down, have a chat, usually over the phone because like we travel all over. So if everyone lives pretty far away, it's hard to kind of book that in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll have a call. Usually we get into a bit more of the finer details, like, like, is there a certain time of the song that you envision walking out to? Because so far I've just got the song.
The finer details.
Just the nitty gritty, which I really love doing. But also it just consolidates everything so we both know, we're looking at the same document, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Or if we need to make tweaks, then we can.
Do you like
But, yeah, that's sort of the process, I guess.
Do you like working with coordinators or, like, do they just cramp your style?
Coordinators are the best because it I feel like I
same because
asking for a friend.
No, because I wonder if you like on the night get asked to do certain things and it's really not your like position, like checking on certain things like is the caterer ready for like mains to come out and should we play now? And it's
sometimes,
like,
and
if
it's
there's
not
no MC, and like, if there's no MC or like no one to really coordinate, it would make your life harder. So it's like,
I think we've noticed.
Sometimes when there's like a corner out, you're like, the coordinator.
Yeah, definitely. Or an MC. Coordinator. Or an MC. And then you're lucky enough
some
to have both.
Other person who's not
sailing.
Like playing an instrument, but have to go out and ask the question.
Yeah, because you can't just be like, all right, I'm just going to put my instrument down and, you know, where's the sound coming from? Like some DJs are really good in that they can do all of that and because, you know, they can leave a song playing in the background for a minute while they go and check on something.
Yeah.
But we can't really do that unless we've got a five-piece and our key player can go off. And he does do professional emceeing, so we do offer that as a service in addition if he's available. So... yeah, I think it's just about having all the pieces working together, but also not kind of,
checking
you don't
want to
kind of be like, oh, can you, like,
No.
So it's, what if, you know, you could be somewhere and the photographer could be outside with the couple.
Yeah,
so
it's like, are you really going
to
leave and
to
go?
Be able to,
no, that's right. That's why you need a coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, it's very important.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, but the other thing we want to chat about is, like, where do you see your business going? Yeah. Do you have any big plans coming up, like, for the future of your business?
Yeah, so we have actually been talking recently about just sort of mixing up our music a little bit and sort of trying to bring in some of the more contemporary or things that are, like, trending right now.
Sure.
So, like, a lot of electronic dance music from the 80s and 90s is actually sounds very much like what is – well, it is what is being played on the radio now. Like, it's all coming back.
Yep. Like Sansa. We have a lot. It's an inside joke.
Yeah, it's an inside joke.
What's that?
So just keeping up to date with the next generation of people that are getting married.
Yeah.
Because we play a lot of songs from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, all the stuff that everyone knows and loves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like there's stuff out there right now and it's like, well, what if that is really good? Like compared to like those 70s songs that you're like, you know, I Will Survive. Want to dance with somebody instant like but then stuff maybe from this generation that the oldies maybe don't really know and then it's like how's that dynamic going to affect the dance floor so bringing back sort of those new ish maybe more like the 2000s want to build into that a little bit more bit of some of that electronic dance music those few of those songs but also branching out in terms of I've been booking other great musicians that work under us for weddings when I'm at weddings.
Yep.
So
can't be everywhere.
That's it. And it's good to, like, we've got that reputation where people have asked us, oh, can you book a string quartet and a DJ for my wedding?
Yeah.
And I'm like, they realize that, like, I'm the singer. So, like, I'm not going to be there then. Like, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that they have that trust in our reputation.
And your brand and everything.
Yeah, and we can absolutely do that. So we've started branching out into offering, like, instrumental music, whether that's, like, a guitar and a violin or cello duo or string quartets, we can do all that.
Nice.
So venturing more into that scene. And looking into, again, with the electronic dance music coming back in, can't really, like, get the same effect playing some of those songs as a band.
Yeah.
Unless you had a really, like, a bigger band. And then there's affordability and stuff like that. So working with what's happening in trends of in terms of music trending and what's happening in terms of people's budgets and things like that at the moment.
So looking like balancing those.
And in doing that, I've been thinking about, just looking more into, like, a duo and, DJ and vocals or, like, DJ and sax, where it's, like, you've still got that live and immersive aspect.
I love the saxophone.
But and with, like, two people instead of
I'm seeing it more and more these days. Saxophone, I never used to see as part of a band. I never used to see it. And now I'm seeing it all the time.
Lisa Simpson first made it. Cool.
100%.
Big fan.
No, but seriously, the saxophone I'm seeing as, like, a really like popular instrument now that's coming out.
And if people really want to take their music to the next level, definitely get a sax player because it really does, like, it's the cherry on top.
That's good.
Yeah,
cool.
For sure.
And so how far reaching are you? Do you travel far? Are you, what have you got on the cards for
I'd say, like, the most travel, well, we've done, like, a couple of interstate gigs more for, like, the corporate sort of scene. But in terms of weddings in Sydney, we're Sydney based, but we travel Blue Mountains up to Bathurst. We've got one coming up in Mudgee at the end of this year.
Oh, nice.
And same, like, a South Coast, like, we'll go down, do a few Southern Highlands weddings as well.
Yeah.
So we definitely will travel around. Beautiful. Just so we're based in Sydney, but we'll travel around.
Yeah. And is this is your baby, right? This business. So you're the face of it, you're the admin, you're all the marketing, you're all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, no, I just want to give you credit because, like, you have done so amazing, and to grow your business to become something so well known is, yeah, fantastic.
And over 300.
Yeah, we've done about 300 weddings and events, like, all together, which is amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. And it just shows how good you guys are, because if you weren't, then.
Round of applause.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
No, it's amazing.
It is. Yeah.
Great and look, job. Part of that is that I'm a bit of a control freak. So I'm like.
Don't worry, we all are.
There we go. It's not just me.
We all are.
So I'm trying.
We get you.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I love my team and they're amazing and they're always. Yeah. Like, it'd be great to bounce yeah. ideas off. But then in my mind, I'm like, I need it done my way for yeah, my own sanity. Yeah, yeah, but, like, yeah. I'm starting to try and delegate
yeah.
a bit more. Like, you know, Andrew's good with the social.
So much you can,
give him a bit. Yeah. No, no, no. That's right. Because yeah, they say, it's yours, you know. You yeah. grew it.
That's it.
Stage.
I'm like, look, man. I was like, yeah. I was saying to them, like, if you guys want to start paying for advertising and stuff, yeah. like, that, like you know, if you want to start putting in for that. But no.
Then you can have a bit more of a say.
That's it. We just joke that I hold the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To myself. And yeah. it's like.
No, but I just know how to.
I have these processes, yeah. you know, like,
yeah. And I feel like someone does need to be all across the business.
Yeah, someone's yeah. got to be the boss.
Someone does.
Yeah. 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 So yeah. kudos.
Yeah. Well, thank yeah. you.
Cool. Amazing. So where can people find you? What's your Instagram? Are you on other platforms?
Yep.
Where are you?
Yep, we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and we have a website, which is probably the most informative of them all. And that's our handle is at @DoubleShotMusicAU. So that's where you can find us. Go find where listen. We're playing next. Yeah, no. Come on, have a dance. Or...
Yeah, we will.
Yeah,
we will.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
So much.
Yeah,
and
thank you for all your insights.
Yeah,
all your insights in the yeah the music industry in for weddings, and we love it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Alrighty, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. As always.
You can find us on every podcast platform, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere you get your podcast from, yeah. we're on it. And we'll be on YouTube this season.
Yeah, so check us out there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lisa. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye.